Matthew 25:23. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Now, we are living very uncertain times, and we're meeting together on the internet. This is my first experience, and I only have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 faces here of people who are listening to this message inside here, the worship team primarily, and Carol and Wade. And so I can't even see them, to be truthful, because it's dark in here. And so I just see Wade. He's the only one that's got some light on his face. And everybody else is silhouetted. So it's kind of different. I feed off of your expressions and how you follow me and when I'm preaching. And I can't do that when I'm just staring at an open, empty auditorium pretty much. So I'm going to have to depend on the Holy Spirit to go through here. I know that everyone is talking about the coronavirus. I know I listen to the reports from our governor and from our president almost every day. Fears are rising all around the world. People who have never felt anxious before are suddenly weighed down with worry that somebody in their family or themselves is going to get this nasty virus. They say it's 10 times worse than the flu, and it's very deadly to people with compromised immune systems and who are elderly. So therefore, we need to be very careful. Even if we're healthy, we could carry it to someone who is not. And that's why we find ourselves in the situation we're in right now. And to top it all off, we're stuck at our homes, isolated from each other. And sometimes I think Satan really, really wants to attack us when we find ourselves in this situation. For instance, Brandon. You guys all know, love Brandon and Christy and their little girls. Well, when we had all this deluge of rain the other day, guess whose house got flooded? Brandon. I mean, 6 or 7 inches in his house. And you should see the pictures on Facebook. Well, guess who else got attacked? Paul, our worship leader. His sewer backed up into his basement. And it's a total mess. That still is right now until I can find a way to get taken care of. I mean, things like that happen. And then when you have to face it by yourself and you're isolated from your friends and neighbors who can usually help you get through situations like this, it makes it even worse. Now, I don't know all the stories all across Alive Vineyard family that's been going on this past week, but I know you have your own stories to tell. And you need to tell them. I mean, get a hold of people within your cluster and into your fellowship group. And that's important for you to be able to be a part of that. This morning, my phone dinged at 4:59 a.m. Pat Berger texted me one word. The one word was ditto. A few seconds later, I was dinged again by Richard Crabtree, and he says, "Me too." So I had to go back and look and see what was before this that they were agreeing with. And the day before, a member of their cluster had posted this: "I really miss all of you and look forward to seeing you again at church." Now, this was a cluster group that meets on Mondays, and there's about 13 of them in this group. And they made a group on Messenger, and every time they want to deal with anything like that, they type it in. Everybody else in their cluster gets the message. Well, I'm getting all of their messages and watching what's going on. If they have questions, if they have prayer requests, they're staying connected even though they're not together. And I'm staying connected with them because they put me in their group. Now, I don't know if any of you other clusters are doing that, but that is a wise thing to do because you're keeping track of each other. And you're loving each other, and you're showing things. And like, "I really look forward to getting, I miss my church. I really look forward to getting back together." Well, ditto, me too, I agree. Those are the kinds of things we need to do with each other at this time. We need to connect with each other. We need to love each other and go beyond the walls. And especially if you have members of your clusters who are shut in by themselves or with just one or two people, or if they're elderly. If somebody in your cluster needs something from the grocery store and you're able to go and they're not, go get it for them, okay? Anybody need toilet paper? Let us know, okay, and we'll see what we can do. I'll get Carla on it right away, and we'll make sure everybody gets supplied. That's something you don't want to run out of. That's just a joke, by the way. But, I mean, if you do need toilet paper, we'll find a way to get you some. Just let us know. So people do unpredictable things when they're motivated by fear and uncertainty. In these uncertain times, the Bible assures us that there are some truths that we cannot know for certain. We just don't know. The early church was no stranger to plagues or epidemics or mass hysteria, and we don't know where this virus is going to go. We don't know if we're going to follow the same route that happened in China or that's happening right now in Italy. But we're doing everything possible to keep things clean and healthy between all of our neighbors all across this country. Two parts of our country are really struggling. That's New York and California. And this virus is going rampant in those areas. So you need to pray for them and hold on to them. The early church experienced their fair share of uncertainty and even panic. Jesus is telling them that he is going to leave them, and he's going to leave them in charge when he does leave. And he's telling this through these parables. He's telling us that he has left us and placed us in charge here 2,000 years later. He's given us the Holy Spirit, and he reminds us, number one, over and over and over, do not be afraid. 365 times it says in the scripture, do not be afraid, fear not. That's one for every day of the year. Don't be afraid. No matter what you do, and if you do feel fear rising up inside you, that's the time to just say, Jesus. You don't have to say any more than that. Just say, oh, Lord Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He hears it. He loves you to say his name. And I want you to know something else. I love it when he says my name. And when I can listen, I can hear him sometimes say, Steve. You know what that tells me? That he knows me by name. And that's something we need to hold on to. So at this time, the apostles 2,000 years ago sat at Jesus' feet. They listened to him share parables, and they kept asking Jesus in private, what did you mean by that? What did that parable mean? They knew what on the top surface it meant, but they wanted to go a little deeper. They knew that Jesus was saying something very, very important, because he called these parables to reveal his kingdom. And so that makes them very important parables. In Matthew 24, beginning with verse 42 to 51, and if you downloaded my sermon notes, which I put in PDF, it's the first one listed on the front side. It says, therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known what time the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert. It would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not know. Who then is the faithful and sensible servant whom this master is in charge of his household and giving them food for the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom the master finds so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you that he will put him in charge of all of his possessions. But if that evil slave says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with drunkards, the master of the house slave will come on a day that he does not expect him, and in an hour which he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him to a place with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, obviously, Jesus is preparing the crowds for two final destinations. I'm only going to talk about the first final destination today, okay? I want to give you the upside of what Jesus is talking about to be prepared for. Kel and I learned a couple valuable lessons when David and Andrew were just young boys. We didn't tell them too soon that we were planning on taking them to Kings Island or Cedar Point, because they would drive us nuts asking when can we go? Is the day the day? Then again, it became a great reward and punishment tool also. If you really want to go to Cedar Point, then you're going to have to get your room cleaned. You're going to have to behave. You're going to have to eat your supper. Okay, if you don't, we're going to have to cancel that trip altogether. Now, we didn't use that kind of whip and beat them to death, but it was something similar to what Jesus is doing here. In other words, I want you to stay faithful to the end. And if you are faithful, then you're going to get a great reward. If you're not faithful, you're going to get a great punishment. So therefore, we need to understand that Matthew 24, verses 42-51 refers to some very important aspects. I'm just going to do, like I said, the first half of this. Verse 42, therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. Okay, that's the first thing I want to say. We're all into trying to figure out the scriptures. And one of the greatest pastimes I've had in my past is to say, okay, all the times are right, and this is what's going to happen, and this is what's next on God's timetable. I gave that up a couple years ago. Actually, it's not been too long ago, but I gave it up. Why? I still listen, I still watch, and keep my eyes open. But the reason I did is because he says specifically, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. That's okay with me. As long as I'm ready today, it doesn't matter, does it? So we need to be prepared in our hearts. And that's what the next part of this is. In verse 43, he says, But be sure of this, second, that the head of the house had known what time the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert. It would not have allowed his house to be broken into. So because we don't know, it's okay. Okay, but you need to be prepared because you don't know. If you don't know, it's not to say, okay, I don't know, let's just forget about it, live life, have fun, go and do what we want to do. No, he says, because you don't know, you have to be prepared all the time. Because you don't know when the thief is going to come, so you need to be prepared full time, 24-7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, decade after decade until he returns. And we've been going on like this now for over 2,000 years. So number three, you have to be always prepared, always. Okay. Third, for this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. Okay, well, that answers that. If I think he's coming this week, guess what? He's not coming this week, because that's the week I think he's coming. Okay, so we have to be very careful that we don't appropriate specific times, because sometimes we lead our brothers and sisters and people around the world off the track. And sometimes people get so tired of hearing that the Lord is coming back that they stop listening. They stop having ears to hear. So save it until you are ready. And just be ready and willing. And number fourth, he says, who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom the master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Well, in that same question, he answers it, doesn't he? He says, who is the faithful slave? It's he who the master has given charge to feed in the proper time, to give food in the proper time. You know what that reminded me of? It reminded me of his little discussion with Peter after the resurrection. Peter, do you love me? If you do, feed my sheep. Peter, do you really love me? If you do, then feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me at all? Feed my lambs. Jesus says, he who, in this verse, then he is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time. And finally, fifth, we find out in verse 46, the reward. Blessed is that slave whom the master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will be put in charge of all of his possessions. So what are we supposed to be doing? We need to be feeding the sheep. We need to be feeding the flock. We need to be sharing the good news of the gospel with the world. We need to be feeding our neighbors with love and joy and gentleness and meekness and kindness and truth, sharing the truth that Jesus loves them, that Jesus cares about them. I had a quick talk this past week with a young man. He's 14 years old. I was informed by his mother that you need to be watching him because he's an atheist. And I looked at him, and it's just such a nice young man. And he kept calling me sir, and I said, I called him son. His dad was right there, who he loves dearly. I said, son, you you're not an atheist. You just think you're an atheist because the world tells you you're an atheist. An atheist says there is no God. Are you telling me you're smart enough to know that there is no God? How can you prove that there is no God? You can't. If you want to be honest, you're more than likely an agnostic, which means you don't know. Well, I want you to know that you can know, because there's a God who loves you, who's known you since you were a little tiny baby. He's been beside you all these years, and he keeps finding ways to whisper to you, I love you. I want you to know I can introduce you to him, and I want you to know that you can know in your heart for real that there is a God. If you ever want to talk, I'm available. I won't preach any more than that. And then I went on with what I was doing with the rest of the family, because I didn't want to cram it down his throat, especially in front of all of his family. But I did want him to know, in the midst of what we were doing right there, that there was a God, that he had a son who died for him, and that he loved him and has been there all of his life. Jesus knew that his disciples were going to go through a rough time. And he was continuing with all of these parables, talking about what was going to take place, what was going to take place. Therefore, he promised to send them a helper. What are we supposed to do when he's coming? We're supposed to be feeding the sheep. Now, let's go over to on the next page of your notes to the Gospel of Mark. Now, not on your notes, but the two verses that start this particular parable are in verse 32 and 33. And I want to read those because they are kind of inducing this parable. So it says, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Take heed, keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time will come. And then in verse 34, he begins the parable. It is like a man away in a journey, upon leaving his house and putting his slaves in charge, assigning to each one his task, also commanded the doorkeeper to stay on the alert. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, when it is in the evening, at midnight, nor as the rooster crows, or in the morning, in case he should come suddenly and find you asleep. What I say to you, I say to all. What I say to you, I say to all, be on alert. Now, Mark put in short form everything that needed to be said about this particular parable. In a minute, you can find out Luke asked the question, is this parable just for us or is it for everyone? Luke answered that in verse 37. What I say to you, I say to all, be on the alert. What he's doing here, he's giving us this parable, this man who's going away on a journey. Without saying it, he's saying, I'm going to be going away on a journey. And I'm going to be leaving the household, and you slaves are going to be in charge of taking care of my house, God's house, the people of God. You're going to be in charge of that. And I've got the doorkeeper, and the doorkeeper of the house is to stay on the alert. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. It kind of reminded me when we were kids, and we'd be doing something that we weren't supposed to be doing, and we'd stay playing down in the basement. We'd always have someone who would stand at the door and watch and whisper, stop, stop, Mom and Dad are coming. You know, they were on the alert. Alert us so that we knew that something was coming up right in the middle of us doing things that we knew we shouldn't be doing. Or if we were wrapping a present and we had something really special for someone and we had our head out the door and watching because we didn't want them to come in and find us wrapping this very special gift we had just for them. Be on the alert. The doorkeeper is to be on the alert, to keep their eyes open, to watch the world, to watch what's going on, and then to announce, be ready, be on the alert. That's the kind of doorkeeper Jesus is looking for. That's why we have churches all across this nation. We have churches all across this world. We are the doorkeepers to the community, to each other, and to be on the alert, to care for each other. And when we see someone hungry, we're supposed to feed them. If we see someone naked, we're supposed to clothe them. If we see someone without a roof over their heads, we need to provide space for them. We need to be reaching out to the hurting, because as we do it to the least of these, we do it also unto Jesus. So stand at the door everywhere you go. Look for someone. You know, you can be going down through Walmart or Kmart or even Kohl's, a fashion store, and you can see someone, and, you know, you can, the Holy Spirit will check your heart. Check on them. And just look and say, are you okay? Do you have any prayer requests? Is there anything I can help with? When God checks you that someone around you needs some help, that's making you a doorkeeper. It's helping you be on the alert to feed the sheep. And then you can pray with them. You can do that with the server when you go to a restaurant, which I know you can't go to a restaurant right now. But as you go through the drive-thru, there's going to be people taking your money and then somebody else who's going to be giving you your food. And these guys are just working tirelessly back there. And say a nice word. Give a smile if you can't do anything else. If you've got a Gospel of John, pass it on to them. If you've got a tract, or if you just have a kind word to say, if you a scripture's on your heart, share it with them. And then maybe sometime, if you're generous and you can, say, tell you what, I don't know what the person behind me got, but I want to pay for their meal too. And just tell them that someone loves them. And that's all you have to do. And you can be passing on the joy of the Lord. And you can be feeding the sheep everywhere you go. Now finally, we want to turn to the Gospel of Luke. And this is my favorite one. And he goes into the story of the parable of the talents. And he kind of links these two parables almost together, back to back. But Luke 1, 35 through 48 reads like this. Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that when they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are the slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. Whether he comes in the second watch, even in the third, and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But be sure of this. The head of the house had known what hour the thief was coming. He would not have allowed his house to be broken into. You too, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Peter said, Lord, are you addressing this parable to us or to everyone else as well? And Jesus said, who then is the faithful and sensible steward whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom the master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will be put in charge of all of his possessions. But if that slave says in his heart, my master will be a long time in coming, and begins to beat the slaves, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that slave will come on a day that he does not expect him, and an hour that he does not know, and will cut him to pieces and assign him with a place with the unbelievers. And that slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accord with his will return or receive many lashes. But the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of a flogging will receive but few. From everyone who has been given much, much will be required, and to him who is entrusted much, of him they will ask for even more. So take a look back at this parable. Bless the slave whom the master will find on the alert and say he's girded himself. Now, the one thing that Luke changes from the other two mentions of this particular parable, he says when the master comes back, when he finds that slave who has been faithful, it says that he will serve that slave. That's humbling, isn't it? The master? It's kind of what happened when he went into the upper room and they were bickering over who was going to wash feet. And Jesus got down and he washed the disciples' feet. Peter said, oh no, you can't wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I can't wash your feet, you have no part of me. And Peter broke out the other way. Well, I've washed my hands and my face and my head. And Jesus said, no. But washing the feet is enough. When Jesus comes, he's going to serve us. That is humbling. The master who came and lived on the planet for 33 years, and spent the last 3 years of his life presenting the message of the gospel, all culminating in what we have coming up in a couple of weeks, which is Easter. And why do we celebrate Easter? Because Jesus died on the cross for us. Friends, that's the good news. Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, laid down his life. He served us. He died for you. And so what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be spreading that word, telling the world. That's what serving the Master is all about. It's not a hard subject. It's something we all need to hold on to. So I challenge you this morning. I know you can't go up and down the street and witness to your neighbors at this point, but you can let your fingers do the walking, can't you, through the your phone book directory. Maybe your directory inside your phone. You can call some people. You can spread the word. You can find a way to get that message out. Be creative, like Carol said. You've all got talents. Some of you got a lot of talents. Some of you, like me, don't have so many. But whatever talent you do have, use it for the glory of the King, so that when he does come back, you can be ready. And you can be proud to say, I served you with the best of my ability while I was on earth. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been entrusted with little, and you did what I gave you to do. So whatever your talent is, it's time to use it. Now, especially being separated from the world, but from your family, if you can't be with the rest of your family, you can pick up your phone and you can call them. If you can't be with your grandkids, you can call them and talk to them. Tell them that you love them. Tell them that Jesus loves them. Especially at this time, we need to be alert and awake, because who knows? Christ could come any day, because nobody knows when he's coming. Let's pray together. Father, we're trying our best to be alert for you, to present the gospel as you've given it to us. You found it to be very, very important to give us these parables, Lord, to tell us to get ready. Then you got real straight out with us in that upper room, told us to not let our hearts be troubled, because we believed in God and we believed in you, and that your house has many, many mansions, and you went there to prepare a place for us, and that you're coming back to get us, so that where you are right now, we can be there also. And so, Lord, we want to be ready whenever you may come. And, Lord, we're going to spend the rest of our lives proclaiming and feeding the sheep for your glory and for your kingdom's sake. Now, Lord, I know this prayer concerns all across our listening audience right now. I pray, Lord, that as they type in their prayer requests, that you'll help us to connect with each other and with you in prayer, so we can, Father, take care of each other's needs. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So for our ministry time, you can still be a part of it. If you're online, you can type in your prayer requests or concerns and go ahead and send them, because our worship team is going to be our prayer ministry team, as well as our staff, and they will be watching and seeing what's coming in. We're going to be praying for them as Rick leads us in a ministry song. This is a time for us to be the body of Christ connected with Jesus. And I want you to know, he's bigger than this virus. So we're going to be connected with each other in Jesus' name. God bless. Thank you for listening. And I hope you'll be with us on Wednesday night, and that you'll be alert. We'll be posting things all week long. Hopefully words of encouragement. Love you. In Jesus' name, amen.